Well, hello again, and welcome to another episode of our podcast. And I believe we are on episode 12, something we started way back in March as we were just, when we first started this was kind of a way where I would get to share a bit of my heart for where God is leading us as a church at Sunrise, where Sunrise could get to know and people could get to know a bit more about me. And then COVID-19 hit, and we found ourselves where this was just a great chance to kind of have a midweek Bible study in many ways. And so it doesn't matter if you're joining us and you're from Sunrise, or you've been checking out Sunrise Community Church, or you found us online somewhere and are just looking for a Bible study. I'm glad you're here. We've been looking through prayer a fair bit of it over the last, really about 7 weeks. We've been going through prayer and the different aspects of prayer, taking a look at what prayer of thanksgiving looks like for us and what lamenting looks like. And I wanted to take a time today and take a look at praying for healing. And it's a good time for us to look at this, especially after we've spent a week looking at praying boldly and what it means for us to pray boldly. And so I think it would be great for us to take a look at healing, which is one of the things that we often go to God with the most. We're sick, we're in need, and we go to God with something, and especially when it comes to sickness. And so if you've got your Bibles, or you're just following along, that's fine as well. I want to go to James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And again, we find ourselves nearing the end of the book and like we've seen in most books, is somehow prayer usually finds its way at the very end of the book, which is as they're leading up to kind of this important things that they want people to remember. And prayer seems to be a part of most of the books that Paul writes as he's sending them off. And so, but here we have with James this passage, which says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And there's a whole lot in this passage, and it gives us kind of really three kinds of prayer, and we've covered most of them. And so this is kind of a good way for us to wrap up this kind of mini series that we've been doing in our podcast on prayer itself. And I want to start by taking a look at verse 13, right? Verse 13, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. And that's one that we again, often find ourselves in. These are the laments that we've talked about, going to God with the things that we need. Now, immediately follows by saying, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Now, it's important that this is not just us singing a song that we heard on the radio, and it's not even just a song necessarily that we sing in church on a Sunday morning. And we wait till the one song that comes in that's, happy day, and we start singing it at the top of our lungs, which, by all means, we should sing at the top of our lungs, although none of you have heard me sing, so you might want me to retract that statement. But what it's really referring to is going back to where we looked at the fact that when God answers prayers, one of the things we're supposed to do is praise his name in the courts. Let the praise of God be a testament for what he's done in our lives. And so when we see here, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Those singing songs of praise is about singing in the courts, singing to your friends, sharing what God has done in your life. And And in this passage, James starts out by asking that question, is any one of you in trouble? Right? And so I'm sure we can all, we've all been at that point where we could answer yes at some point to that. But we see that there's three different kinds of prayer in this passage, right? And the first, we are to pray for ourselves, all right? Now, often we think of the topic that we're doing and the timing of the topic, and I'll get to that in a second. But first, we are to pray for ourselves in verse 13. Second, we're to call elders of the church when we're really sick in verses 14 and 15. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over them. And third, we are to pray for each other in verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins and to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so there is prayer for ourselves when we pray individually, prayer for ourselves. Second, when we are sick, calling others to pray for us. And thirdly, us going alongside others and praying for others. And it even talks about throughout all of these places, each one has, it gives us indications on how we should pray, but also when we should pray. And prayer is something that you can do at any time, but it also gives us four very distinct times when we're to come before God. We're to look to him when we're in suffering, in verse 13, when we have success in verse 13 as well, when we have sickness in verses 14 and 15, and when we're in sin in verses 15 and 16. I think one of the things that you'll notice here, and I think this is why this is a good passage for us to probably finish on, and we're not going to just drop prayer, let me just say that, because I've really enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed this too. This has been a really fun kind of mini-series looking at prayer. But I want to also transition to worship, and I think this is going to be a great thing of what worship looks like for us in our individual walks with God and corporately as well, and get some biblical perspective on that. But that's another week, and so I don't want to already hop down a rabbit trail and start talking about something else. Let's take a little closer look at this. And I think what I was about to say is that James really recognizes that life is made up of a lot of highs and a lot of lows. There's tragedy, there's sorrow, there's joy. And illness and sickness trip us up, and sin really entangles us. That's that low moments. And I think that's just universal, right? Often we go to God when we're sick, and illness is one of those things that really trips up our plans, and sin really entangles God's plans when we're trying to follow him and we sin. And so we never know what to expect. Life is totally unpredictable. Anyone who has had an accident before or has had a family member suddenly get sick can attest to life, the fact that life can change, you know, radically. I mean, all we have to do is look at where we are right now in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis and pandemic, and we know very firsthand how our lives can change in a matter of moments. When we look to the future, in fact, we've really learned over the last little while that it's very difficult to plan more than a week ahead, knowing that rules are changing and the statements coming out from the government are changing weekly, daily, if not hourly, as there's this very fluid situation that people are having to adapt to. That's life for us as well. And that's life as a Christ follower, is how do we adapt and how do we react when life suddenly and radically changes in a matter of moments? So let's take a look at some of this. And I want to start with praying when we're suffering. And yes, this is very close to lamenting. But this is taking a look at lamenting outside of the Psalms. We were spending some time in the Psalms as we looked at lament and really the formula of how to lament. But now it's really talking about that itself. If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. And the word here that James used refers to suffering of any kind. It can include sickness, it covers death, it covers disappointment, it covers persecution, it covers frustration. And so it's important for us to know that suffering here is not just sickness. When we talk about healing, it's being healed from that disappointment in our life, yes, from the sickness in our life, but also from the things that are entangling us right now. And I think it's important for us to understand that. When we're in trouble, we are to pray as Psalm 34 reminds us. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. When we're in a mess, we should pray for wisdom and strength, which is what we looked at last week in praying for wisdom. And if it's the Lord's will, that's one of those things that we always add on. Like, Lord, your will be done in all of this. And there's something very unique about being a Christ follower where we have the privilege of prayer, where we can go to God anytime, in any situation, with whatever is on our hearts, the good, the bad, the ugly, we can go to God. And that is something that is very unique. And I honestly, when I look at hard times, it and what I've gone through at different points in life, I don't know how people can go through hard times without having God in their life, and where to turn. Now, when it comes to suffering, the Bible is very clear that suffering is the normal expectation for every believer. In fact, Peter puts it bluntly in 1 Peter 4:12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." It's kind of funny because he's like, why are you pretending that suffering is this big surprise that you shouldn't have anymore? Rather, he's saying you have to realize here that don't be surprised at this. This is part of being a Christ follower and a part of life. And any persecution is very much a part of that. Secondly, praying when we have success. And I won't really spend time on this at all, because we've talked about what this means. This is us being a testament to what God has done in our lives. This is us being a witness to what God has done in our lives. Which brings us to when we've got sickness. And if you take a look at verses 14 and 15, if any one of you is sick, he should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Now, this is kind of a difficult passage to understand. Let me state up front what the question is not, okay? The question is not, does God answer prayer? We know that he does, okay? The question is not, does God answer prayer for the sick? We know he does. The question is not, does God sometimes answer in ways that seem miraculous, right? Again, the answer is yes. We know all of these things are true. We know he answers prayer. We know he heals from the sick. And we know he does work in miraculous ways. So the focus here is not on what God is able to do. We know that God is able to do anything and can do anything that he wants to do. The focus of this passage is on what the church can do, and this is a very important thing. The verses tell us how the Bible-believing church responds to sickness when it's in its midst. What should we do for the sick? And the answer is very both simple and very profound. I mean, we should pray that God would raise them up. And there's this four-step process for this. That we can follow. The first step that we see is the sick person calls the elders. And again, the word sick here is very broad. It includes any serious physical, any mental, emotional, spiritual, or relational problem that is too heavy for them to bear. The elders are called because they represent the church, and because and one of the reasons why we have them as elders is because they are God-fearing people who love to pray, who love to spend time in scriptures. And so having that knowledge and having those people come around you in prayer is something that you want. And so, yes, the sick person steps out and calls for the elders. And say, I'd love to have an elder come pray for me. Maybe you're hearing this and you're saying, I would love that. Well, not to sound like an infomercial, but guess what I've got in step two today? which is the elders go to the sick person. The sick person calls for the elders and the elders go to them. They go together because there is strength in numbers. And by going in person, their prayers can be more fervent, more heartfelt, more earnest. And in addition, by going to the sick person, the elders communicate the message that the church has not forgotten those who are sick. Now this can manifest itself both with the elders. This can manifest itself with chaplain ministry and with pastors. And there's all different ways which churches approach this. But it's important that the church goes, right? And this is a very internal thing with the church, yet external at the same time. The person calls people to come pray for them, and people go and pray for them. And then we see step three, which says the elders pray and anoint with oil. And when the elders come to pray, James tells them to anoint the sick person with oil, which literally means rub oil on them. The type of oil is not specified. I would probably not recommend Motormaster or Pennzoil or anything like that. I'm guessing it's more like olive oil. Although, who knows? If he's a mechanic, he might like that. But oil in the Bible was a symbol of health and vitality. Kings were anointed with it as a visible symbol of God's presence. So the same is true here. It's not magical. There's nothing supernatural about it. But by anointing with oil, we are giving a humble reminder that all healing must come from God. And so that is the key component of this. Again, it's not magical or supernatural, but it's that physical reminder that healing must come from God. It builds faith and says to the sick person, God is here and he's able to heal you. And that leads us to really the next point. We understand here that also the anointing must be done in the name of the Lord. It's very important because it reminds us that God is the ultimate source of this blessing and of this healing. And power is not in the elders, nor in the oil, nor even in the prayers, but in the name of the Lord. And that's, I think, very important for us to understand. And that last step really is that there is healing. Verse 15 makes a rather bold promise, which says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well." The fourth step is simply the result of actions of 1 to 3. The sick person is healed. James uses an unusual expression to describe the elder's prayer. He calls it a prayer offered in faith. And this particular phrase is used nowhere else in the New Testament. In one sense, every sincere prayer must be offered in faith, or it can hardly be called a prayer at all. When the elders pray, they are to come to God with the attitude of complete trust that he can and he will do what is needed in this situation. And I think that's very important for us to understand. That the elders arrive knowing that God's will be done, and they fully trust that no matter what that will is, God's will be done. And so I think that's very very important for us to understand. The text says nothing about how the healing will come, nor does it rule out medical care. And I think that's a very good thing to put as a disclaimer. In fact, oil also has a medicinal property to it and may communicate to James' first century readers that God heals through prayer and medicine, but whether quickly or slowly, by miracle, by going to the doctor and provide, and the knowledge that those doctors have been provided, how people will be healed is really where we say that prayer offered in faith, knowing that God's will be done. And so one of the things that I think when we think of healing, and I should wrap this up, is healing, we think of it as getting rid of the disease. It's like running the clock of life backwards and restoring a person to their previous state. But healing is a very broad concept that involves coming into the right relationship with God first and foremost. Then it touches every part of life, body, soul, spirit. It involves healing all the broken relationships. in bringing us to a place where we can receive God's blessing in a very new and powerful way. And so I think that's important for us to understand, that it's not just this getting rid of disease, right? It's this heart, soul, and mind that God is supposed to be every part of. It's not always, when I look at this, I see that what is needed first and foremost is an abundance of prayer, just plain and simple. And with healing, in this is, it's one part of this great aspect of who God is, that we have this unique ability to go to him with anything. And healing is one of them. And we have to broaden our definitions when we think of healing to understanding that this is not just physical, but spiritual, emotional, relational, and those things that we struggle with and those things that we suffer with. And so I think it's good for us to leave that here today. I think we've, you know, when we talk about healing, we've looked at what that step process looks like and what we're called to do. We also look at when we're supposed to go to God. And so there's all sorts of these things. So I'm just going to pray. We'll continue next week as we take a look at worship and really transition from prayer to worship and see what that looks like. And I'm excited for that as well. So thank you for joining me as you listen to this. Let me just pray though. God, thank you for today. Thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And you heal us from all sorts of things, whether we deal with the physical pain or emotional or spiritual or relational, whatever it may be, God, you are there. And so, God, our prayer is that as we've looked at James this morning and a few other passages, we can find ourselves where we're able to lift up those prayers offered in faith, knowing that you hear us, but also knowing that your will be done. And we give thanks that you are in control over that. And so, so we just thank you that we can spend time in your word together, and we can learn about how we can communicate with you and grow stronger in a relationship with you. So we just pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen.